Hey, well, thanks for those of you who are still here after figuring this out. That was really kind of odd. But anyway, I'm going to talk about sort of an experiment that we were able to, or sort of a large-scale experiment where we could take advantage of something that doesn't happen very often. And that is one of the things we're kind of interested in is the effect of fertilization timing, so fall application event. And as many of you know, we've had some interesting weather the last few years, and so that allowed us to basically do a watershed scale experiment that we would never be able to do if we, were trying to get farmers to actually do something different, or if we wanted to really do it in a controlled way, we'd never be able to do it, but the weather did it for us. So I'm just going to talk briefly about some end balances that we've worked on that kind of lead into this, then talk about fall end application in Illinois. And the river system that we monitor is the Embera, and talk about some of the long-term response of that river, and then how we kind of looked at some of the data to try and see what effect perhaps fall end, and just end with talking about reducing fall end in Illinois. This is the Illinois nitrogen budget, calculated on a kilogram of N per hectare per year, right up through 2010. I just updated this a few days ago. And so it's got the estimates for this year's crops and has the N fertilizer for this past year as well. And in Illinois, our budget, our fertilization amount, the amount of N fertilizer we use has been very steady for some time. We have more and more fixation from soybean, and deposition is quite unimportant. The grain harvest continues to go up, though. Those some of you know that in corn grain, N has been going down, and it's probably 25 to 30% down from what it was. And so that's actually caused that grain harvest in some of our latest calculations to not be increasing like it was. Soybean grain is still the same protein concentration, but corn, as it goes down in protein, there's still an increased harvest because the bushels per acre is going up so much, but there's less in it. And so that actually makes a pretty big difference in the amount of N that's harvested. And then we have the manure and human consumption of N, and those are actually getting to be smaller and smaller in Illinois. We just don't have the animal density that a state like Iowa does or Wisconsin. And so if we add up the inputs and adjust the grain harvest for what stays behind in manure and in human consumption, we can calculate the net nitrogen inputs. And in Illinois, those were quite low in the 50s, increased. And the big years are the drought years or poor cropping years. 1988 is one of the notable ones there. But there has been this nice steady decline. It's not, it's, it jumps around, and there's 2010, at least our estimate right now. But it's gone from maybe over 30 to 40 kilograms per hectare per year, sort of a surplus N or excess N, and has dropped now more toward about 20. So that's a good thing, and we would hope to see a corresponding decrease in nitrate perhaps in rivers, though we haven't really seen that. And there's a number of factors. But this is the nitrogen sort of left over. It could undergo denitrification. Somewhere, either in soils or in streams. It can be leached into streams or into groundwater. In Illinois, with the tile density that we have, a lot of it ends up in streams. We've also done, this is one I presented last year at these meetings, but just to put this in perspective, this is the same kind of calculation using a data set from 1997 through 2006 for all the counties in the Mississippi Basin. And it really points out that where some of the highest nitrate concentrations are not necessarily where the highest net nitrogen inputs are. And so I'm going to be talking about, if you see on the mouse here, right here, these two counties in Illinois, Champaign County and Douglas County, where our watershed is. And their surplus N there are net a positive net nitrogen inputs, but they're actually fairly small. And where you see the highest ones are where you have high animal densities. And we also, from that same work, calculated January to June nitrate export that really utilized the amount of fertilizer, which was sort of something that was very similar to the crop, the intensity of cropland, and then also the amount of water runoff and then also tile drainage density. And you really shows the tile drain corn belt as sort of the center of where the highest nitrate concentrations are. And again, the watershed I'm going to be talking about and some of the other data we have is right in this high area. And of course, again, everybody I'm sure in this room is familiar with drainage by tiles and ditches, and so we've created a really good system for removing water and nitrate from fields, unfortunately. But it also allows for good farming conditions. And we know we're getting more and more tiles put in every year, though we don't really have a way to quantify that. And this is the river that we monitor. This is a USGS gauging station at Camargo. And this is the Embro River. That's at high flow. At low flow, it just is, very shallow. And at this time of year, there's almost no flow, but it drains about 47,000 hectares. And so it's a good sized watershed, and again, very flashy flow. And so Lowell Gentry's here in the crowd. He took that first sample back in June of 1993. And we've been sampling this river pretty intensively. It's one of the better data sets now. We're almost up to 1,000 samples that we've collected. We try and collect at least once a week and then on high flow events, every flow event. And so often, at this scale of river, you really don't need more than one sample a day to characterize nitrate, but we try. Well, there's many days in here where we have sampled day after day. And so we have a pretty good data set. The year we started was, of course, 93, and that was the year, for those of you from Iowa, and it was the big flood years, and we had a lot of rain in Illinois, not nearly the amount further west, but still, it was a very high flow year. But we've always had this concentration pattern. Most rivers in the Midwest have this, with the highest concentrations in late winter and spring, and then as tiles stop flowing and flow goes down in summer, concentrations either get all the way to zero or very close to zero, because denitrification in stream beds takes care of the little bit of nitrate that's actually in the river. And so you see this pattern, and what's interesting, we don't really see much of a decline as the nitrogen balances have gotten better. But what you do see is some very low concentrations in 93 and into 94. And then what happened this past year? You can see the concentrations typically get well over 10. But in the fall going into the winter of last year, concentrations stayed very low. We had one or two concentrations that were high in June this year after fertilizer was applied in the spring. That quickly went back down. And so I'm going to talk a lot about what might have caused this. And actually, as now when we look back, these two very low sets of concentrations that are very different from these others. And we've also went out and sampled a whole range of other streams this past year. And I don't have data to compare it to other years, but we know from experience that most of the concentrations are between 10 and 15. And so this is my point being, the Embro was very typical this year. All the concentrations in all the rivers were very low in April when we sort of did this synoptic sampling. In June, after spring fertilization, they went up a little bit, but still not that high. And then later in June, there's not much change. Point being, there's very low nitrate all over East Central Illinois this past year. And so this is some detailed data on the Embro going back a number of years. On the bottom here is just annual stream flow back through 1972. So it's annual flow in centimeters. And the red line is just a five-year weighted average to kind of even make it a little easier to see. And obviously flow varies quite a bit from year to year. But what's interesting is 2010 was actually quite a wet year. And so it's one of the highest stream flow years. It's, I think I figured out, is the fifth highest in the data set. So given that, one of the highest years we had for nitrate load was 2002. And so we would have expected quite a high nitrate load. Well, this is the nitrate export from the watershed, kilograms per hectare per year, using some other data beyond ours that goes back all the way to the late 70s. And you can see the average for this watershed is right around 29 kilograms per hectare per year. And in fact, 2010 was right about average, which is kind of interesting. But it's right about average, but it's a much higher stream flow year. And so that's going to enter into what I'm going to talk about as we go further along. So given that amount of flow with the past year's concentrations, we would expect much, much higher nitrate loads. So what was different about this year? Well, if you remember, 2009 was a really wet year, very wet fall, and our corn harvest didn't get over as corn and soybeans until well into November and December, and some people even into January. So it was a year with very little fall in. And there's no good, getting to how much fall in there is a very difficult thing to get. So what this is showing here is for the entire state of Illinois, the spring fertilizer sales and the fall fertilizer sales going back to the late 70s. And you can see how the fall in has gone up and spring in has gone down. If you remember, the total fertilizer for most of that period has been level. So, and then what you see is the major drop in the fall of 2009, last fall. And we knew that happened, and we know very little fall in was applied. Now, some is sold, and some people buy it in the fall, and it doesn't get applied in the fall, and that could be some of that. There's a lot of questions sometimes about this data, but it's what we have, and it's as good as what we have. Regardless of the absolute amounts, there's no doubt that this really went down, and then of course in the spring this year it went up quite a bit. And so then as a fraction of the total end, we had been down around 20%. Some years for the whole state it's gotten up to 50, and then it dropped quite a bit in 2009. And we know for our area it's actually much higher than 50% fall in, and it's often 75% because Southern Illinois there is no fall in. And so we think it's even more striking, though it's hard to break those numbers out just for our area. But we did try and do it for three counties. Sometimes if you combine counties, it's a little better. And so this is the Amber watershed. This is just the amount of fall in, and 2010 is the lowest going back to as many years as we had the county level data for. It clearly was the smallest amount of fall in. So basically we have a nice experiment. What happens if you don't put any fall in on? And that's what happened here. And again, we could have said we wanted to do this experiment on a 47,000 hectare watershed, and there'd be no way to do it. So we found out a way, just have a lot of rain. So we fit a model to our nitrate data set, which has, again, about 1,000 data points. And we used a statistical model to predict nitrate concentrations. And Greg McIsaac, the other co-author on this, he's not in the book, but he did this work. He's a hydrologist. And basically using various functions of flow, and then also had some models with and without fall fertilizer and corn yield. And basically with the statistical model, all these terms were significant, and it didn't explain all the variation, but it was about 76%. So this is the measured nitrate, predicted nitrate, and you can see this is not a model that's going to get every point right on, but and that's a one-to-one line. It does a pretty good job. And what's interesting about this model is looking at the residuals. And so when we do this model in the lower panel here, this is the model residuals in milligrams of N per liter and just the nitrate concentrations through time. And this is just to make it a little easier to see some of this. This is a 5-sample moving average in red here. And you can see there are the residuals. What you're looking for in the residuals is some kind of pattern. But what was interesting is 93 in 2010 had some very low residuals. That's the model without fall in. So if you add fall in, the just metric tons into the model, you can see that everything, even some of the intervening years, the residuals, especially in 90, look how these are very low down in the 4 to 6 range, and they're right up close to zero when we add fall in. Same thing in 93. Much better. The model looks a lot better at predicting things with fall in, when we include fall in the model. So then we were able to take that model, and again, the average for the watershed from 93 to 2010 was 29.5 kilograms per hectare. So we then ran the model, and we could estimate what it would have been with no fall N, and we got 23, so about a 22% reduction. I mean, fall N is, in this case, we think, you know, it's not going to make, you know, going from fall to spring isn't going to make nitrate go away, but it could be on average about 22% reduction, and it ranged from 0 to 33. And so these are the individual bars of the actual load. And, you know, so some years in a dry year, you know, 2003, I mean, it's not going to make much difference whether you had fall or spring. But in a year that was really a big nitrate year, 2002, also the largest hypoxic zone ever, and this was... that would have made a, you know, more like a 30% reduction. Just to give you, there's a study that Bob Hayes' student, Matt Clover, did a few years ago for 3 years where they looked at a really pattern. It's one of the biggest tile monitoring studies I'm aware of, and they found a 24% reduction spring versus going when you use spring versus fall, and a 41% from fall to side dress. And so that's the kilograms per hectare there. So our 22% is actually quite close to the 24%. That they found. And then just one final figure. This is a really long-term Embro River. There were some measurements made in the early 1900s. Greg made some measurements, used some data for a number of rivers in red here, two different dates. And these are the Embro in the 50s and 60s. And what's interesting is that this value of flow weight, this is flow weighted nitrate, is one of the lowest concentrations. You know, there's some other years in here, but basically the amount of water and the lack of fall N really caused a very low nitrate concentration. And again, you'd have to go back into the late 50s to find one like that. So to conclude, our net nitrogen balances have shown a decline, but we haven't really seen a relationship with that with nitrate concentrations in the rivers. Fall N has increased over time, as has tile drainage, and in a year with little fall N, we saw much lower nitrate concentrations than we might expect. And our modeling suggests perhaps a 20% reduction with no fall N. And of course, side dressing, which is a lot of discussion, would even provide a larger reduction. And I have no doubt that's where we need to be heading. So I'll conclude with that.